Sound of Torres. Don't go putting wishes in my head. Well, okay, I won't do that. What I'll be putting in your head is good information, because as you probably know, it's been circulated quite widely today on social media that we're chatting to two very interesting and important people in terms of your comfort and security over the festive season, particularly with regards to water. And we'll be chatting with Jade Harding, who is the marketing head of the UIP. Lovely to have you in the studio for the first time, is it?
Yes, thanks, Dave. Okay. So just let's be cautious.
Okay, all right, we'll take it easy. And then, of course, Shai Misra, who's a radio DJ. He's been so many times on air.
He's been giving me a couple of tips.
Let's start, Shai, with you, because I think it's very important that we talk water and where to from here, because at the moment we've got a situation where we're not going to talk about the blue flags right now. We'll get to that. It's lovely to know about. We're not going to talk about the problems that we've got down in Umhlanga and further. We're going to be talking about what is happening with the Avondale Reservoir, because I keep a watching brief on all the social media groups, and occasionally, like every day, someone is panicking about the level of the reservoir, because apparently the issues that stem from an electricity outage or a broken cable in Durban have exacerbated the availability of water from Umgeni water to Caesar water, and that is where some of our issues lie. Where do we stand at the moment?
I think good afternoon, Dave and listeners. Dave, it's wonderful to be here again. I think just the last few, maybe 2 months or so, has been rather challenging in managing and maintaining the level of Avondale. So Avondale Reservoir belongs to Umgeni Water. We have entitlement to certain capacity of the reservoir. The difficulties happen where I think some internally there were some issues within the Hazelmere Waterworks, and I'm not a spokesman of Umgeni Water, but from what we've been told, and also the incoming supply of electricity. We were told a few weeks ago that was resolved. So just to explain the system, the Hazelmere Waterworks supplies the coastal strip Shaka's Head with water supply for our service area. It also supplies now part of Tongaat. It will supply into other areas of Verulam, etc. And from the Lower Tugela Works, we will have water supply coming in to Itete, Shaka's Kraal, and Kobongo, Shaya Moya.
And that's good to know, because at one stage, during the big problems of a couple of years ago, the level of Hazelmere got down to almost the mud, and there was, you remember the rationing and the panic and the fear and the fines that were going to be implemented, and then you managed to pull a miracle somehow, and now the dam wall has been raised successfully, so Hazelmere, and we've had good rain, so Hazelmere should be sitting around about, it's full. But that doesn't seem to help, because if they can't pump the water from Hazelmere to us, there we go, we're stuck. Yeah. So what can you as Caesar Water do about it?
So what we do is we make sure that all our secondary reservoirs have a minimum of 48 hour storage. And what we try to also do is to preserve water when Avondale level drops, to try to get water to our residents in the peak periods at the least.
And is that going to be by tanker again?
No. It's from the reservoir. We shut the reservoir off at about 35-40% in the hope that it can fill up intermittently, even if it's slower pumping.
So when you shut the reservoir, does that mean that no water is trickling down into the pipeline, and the taps in Balito are running dry?
Well, the Avondale is basically the master reservoir that will feed into the coastal strip, and the other reservoirs also feed directly to consumers. So Avondale will be the feed into many reservoirs and some customers directly. So when we do close the outlet of Avondale Reservoir, there'll be certain consumers, especially going down to the coastal strip and up into Salt Rock Sheffield.
So all the holiday makers, in other words.
A portion of them, not all. A portion. Because
let's be generous and say all of them.
No, not really. I think, for example, Zimbali will be almost unaffected because they come off our water recycling plant. Part of Balito Business Park will be unaffected. They come off the water recycling plant. And then many of the other reservoirs where the capacity is more than sufficient to run for about 2 days will be unaffected. We try to manipulate valves. We don't like to do that simply because it creates pressure problems and burst pipes, and then we lose more water. And to remedy that situation becomes a bit difficult as well. So our precaution is to shut down Avondale to allow for an evening peak and maybe a morning peak if we get to that. So far we've been mitigating these catastrophes, we should call it, on a touch and go basis. Like yesterday was another one that was managed, but we didn't have to shut down, but the reservoir ran low. And I think it's also the fact that we have some higher demands coming through. But
now we got we got the perfect storm coming up. We got a higher demand with all the holiday makers, and we welcome them. But we've also got now the situation where we could very well be going into stage 7 load shedding for the foreseeable future. And I'm talking about for an extended period of many, many weeks, maybe months, maybe longer. Please know. But, you know, we've got to be prepared for the worst. If in that situation, if we are in load shedding stages 7 or 6 and 7, where you've got possibly 2 periods of 4 hours at a stretch with no power, can you keep the reservoir topped up?
Well, we'll try our level best. So our sites have all got generators, water and wastewater. So we'll be able to sustain our services, barring any catastrophe of the mechanical equipment failing.
But getting the water from Hazelmere, that's the problem.
The challenge would be getting water from Hazelmere, and we will engage with Umgeni Water on that and the contingencies they will get with Itiquini Municipality with regard to the supply and try to exempt the works. But, you know, that is not in their hands as well. So
we do they not have generators, big machines that run on, I was going to say sustainably, but of course that would be really wishful thinking. But big diesel generators, don't they have them?
Not for the pumps that would supply water out of the waterworks.
Are they too powerful?
Yeah. At this stage, they don't have, but I believe that's in the pipeline for them to also implement. And I think Umgeni Water can give you more comment on that. So
are we going to get through the festive season with water in the taps?
Well, let's put it this way. My operations manager, Kubus Furi, has not going on leave. I'm going to be close by as well. So we're preparing for a little bit of a bumpy ride, but I think we're maximizing our capacities at all of our reservoirs. We're asking Umgeni Water to also increase certain reservoir capacities at other sites for us, like Honolulu Reservoir as well as terminal reservoirs, where we normally operate at about 50 to 60% for water quality reasons, but we're trying to top it up for the buffer for the festive period.
Would you suggest, and it's always something to think about, that people use water sparingly?
Well, I think...
I mean, it's difficult for you because you sell water. I mean, it's like saying, please don't buy our product.
not really. I think it's very difficult to convince a holidaymaker not to make merry. The normal resident that's here that is, you know, savvy with how they want to perceive there and have a good quality of life may be amenable to that. But there isn't a shortage of water. It's the problem of getting the water to where it needs to be.
But it's the same thing, isn't it?
It's the same thing. Yeah. It's not because it's a drought or there's a pipe break. Yeah.
But it's, you know,
it's a supply constraint.
It's difficult because the mindset isn't, well, we're all in this together. It's a terrible drought situation and we're pulled together as a nation. No. There's lots of water. In fact, the rain falls. We've had floods. Now you want us to not use the water. It's a problem. We've got an infrastructural issue, a serious one, and we need to be cognizant and mindful of it. In fact, generally speaking, if we use the planet more responsibly, I think we'd all be better off. It's not a bad idea to get into that frame of mind anyway. But let's now move across to Jade and to things beach-related and recreationally sound in terms of our beaches and oceans and facilities available for holidaymakers and locals alike. Where do we stand? We hear these horror stories of almost glow-in-the-dark beaches now in the nodes to the south of us. The mayor from Durban sent his deputy manager into to the sea in Umhlanga, and he came out, I think, looking rather startled because that water's far from pristine, but still it was a PR stunt, I think, that went wrong because the mayor didn't get into this water, but he couldn't risk it because if he got in the water, he might get sick. Yeah. It is that situation, isn't it?
I think, you know, there's a lot of confusion. I think the public is confused at the moment. There's a lot of miscommunication. There's a lot of different communication at the moment just around the coastline, around water quality. You know, locals and visitors alike are worried about getting sick because of the E. coli levels. They don't necessarily understand the levels of E. coli and how it actually can affect you.
Can you maybe enlighten us?
I definitely will. And I think we can't actually blame them because we've had two floods. We've had this the storm that hit us in Belito. So our promenade got ripped apart. There was a lot of maintenance issues. So we're really sitting with people, and I think a little bit of anxiety around the water quality.
Well, I mean, here's a question for you. We know that they say Westbrook Beach is no-go. It's contaminated. Our furthest southernmost beach, if you like, is over the river from Westbrook. Who tells the E. coli that it must stop at Westbrook? I mean, seriously, does it make sense? does someone have a... I don't know.
Well, okay, what I'll do is I'll enlighten you a bit around just what the Belito URP have been doing and how we can actually just bring a bit of peace of mind to our locals and visitors that are visiting us. Really just around the Belito URP, we're actually testing the water quality independently before the floods. And we've been doing so weekly since the floods. And we'll continue to do through the December period.
And where do you test the water? Because I believe that it's there are outlets that are more prone to carrying effluent than others. Yeah. Stormwater drains might not be too bad, but then there are some that are connected, illegally to sources where they shouldn't be. And we know that that happens, and we're still trying to find out how to, you know, fix that. But those are the outlets that need to be tested regularly.
So specifically for the Belito URP, we've been focusing on our main sewing beaches. And we've got, I mean, I could list them, that is available on our website, but we've got our main swimming beaches and then our main tidal pools along the Belito coastline. And that's where a lot of our residents and locals are swimming. And the test results between those areas, I mean, if we look at the results week by week, you're always going to have a discrepancy between the results because we have different weather conditions. It's like Brian Wright's always said to me, and Brian Wright has this philosophy around a cappuccino. And when we water testing, your cappuccino's got foam at the top and then you've got something at the bottom. And if you're stirring a cappuccino and someone goes to test, you're going to get different test results because you're either going to get, you know, a bit of sugar and a little bit of caffeine or a lot of milk or something. And that's what happens with our weekly testing. It's based on your weather conditions, your strong currents. We could have high seas. We've had a lot of rain.
So it's not accurate.
I'm not going to say it's not accurate.
Well, let me say it for you. It can never be clinically accurate. It can give you an indication.
Exactly.
That's what we're looking for.
So what we've been focusing on, and I think this is important for the public to note and our visitors, is that as a Belito URP, we actually look at the trend. We've been looking at the trend then across the last 6 months. And if we focus on that, the trend along across the last 6 months, we've been sitting in the green levels. And when I say the green levels, those are the acceptable levels of E. coli. And that's when we see those little green dots. And if you look at the social media pages for the Belito URP, it shows all these green lines. And that means we are in a good, acceptable level for E. coli to actually open and have our beaches open and be swimming. And I think
And that's why we're in the fortunate position of having had a lot of holiday makers booking because they've checked with all the authorities and of course the UIP being right at the top. How safe is it beach-wise in Belito? And the message is, it's from an E. coli point of view, it's safe as houses. The water is good. We're very, very fortunate in that regard. Of course, that doesn't mean to say you can just go and jump in at Salmon Bay and be safe, because you'll be taken out by a rip current.
You can't
control that. But in terms of the quality of the water,
that's a lifeguard.
And the beaches. Now, that's another issue that people are worried about, is that the water might be okay, but what about the beaches? Because they don't, you know, that if you get a spill into the sand, it stays for a long time.
So looking at our Belito beaches, we're quite confident our beaches are clean. Just around the maintenance issues, keeping our ablutions well maintained and repaired. We've been fixing the ablutions in Salmon Bay and Willard's Beach. And then obviously focusing on our sewage system in that area. Whenever there is a fault, our team are straight away reporting it to KDM and the various
So between Caesar Water and the UIP, you guys working well together.
Because very well.
I've got to say, hats off to both organizations. We're in an extraordinarily fortunate position where we have a clean, green, and secure town as far as these things go. This is almost a miracle in South Africa at December 2022. And it's thanks largely to the fact that we've got a really well-managed, privately held water reticulation and purification operation. The Caesar Water does a marvelous job. And we can only but hope and pray that it's never hijacked by municipal eyes that are looking that direction, because then I'm not so sure. And how fortunate we've got to the UIP. And I need to explain to those that don't understand what the UIP is. It's not a charity organization. It's a funded by largely big property holders in town organization, and that's why it works so well. It's a commercially driven, both entities, commercially driven for excellence, and that's why the results speak for themselves. Look around, you'll see that the nodes that the UIP maintains are at this point in time exactly the way you'd like them to be. They are immaculate and they are maintained that way. Caesar Water doing a remarkably good job. And I'm sounding a bit like a cheerleader, but I'm a fan.
Keep going.
Yeah, because I see what's going on in the rest of the country, and it's a disaster. We are extraordinarily fortunate. And I think there it is. We've kind of got to the point now in our conversation where we've covered much of everything that I wanted to know about. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that we need to before we say cheers?
I think if I can just add, I think based on the cleaning, the greening, the great partnerships and...
Oh, I got a question for you. Security over the festive season. We had a situation, particularly in Lower Bolito, where at a time... there was a disaster brewing with uncontrolled drinking on the beaches and fornicating on the promenade. I'm not joking. It happened. Fighting, aggression towards the tourists, just hordes of unmanageable people, and no support from the SAPS at that point. And then it became a bit of an issue. I know there was a little bit of money changing hands to the taxi associations. It happened. We know about it. It worked like a bomb. They kept everything tidy. What are we doing this year?
Well, we've definitely got a holiday safety plan in place. We always have our 24-hour patrols patrolling. We've also got additional help and personnel through KDM's law enforcement, so Quatacusa's law.
So there's a healthy working
we've
relationship.
We've got a healthy working relationship, a great plan in place, and if we need extra personnel, we can bring them on site straight away.
Great news.
So we are prepared. We've been preparing, I think, for the festive season since September, wrapping up our special projects and obviously getting into... safety and cleaning and greening, getting our litter pickers up in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, up and on the beaches. Well, and I actually just wanted to add, Dave, I was talking about the collaboration and the partnerships, is that the testament to that is our Blue Flag beaches. And that announcement by WESA to say that we've got 3 Blue Flag beaches, I think, is the testament to all the hard work and what's been happening in this area.
It's the first time in an awfully long time that we can proudly say that there are Blue Flag beaches in our... direct neighborhood. It's been a long time coming. Congratulations to you guys that have made it possible, and I believe to, in fact, everyone that's involved in the maintenance of infrastructure in our beloved town. You know, we tend to whinge and complain at the drop of a hat, but there's so much hard work behind the scenes that goes into the status quo. We're extraordinarily fortunate right now. Let's just hope that we can maintain that. And on that note, my very special guests this afternoon, Jade Harding from the UIP and Shia Misra from Caesar Water, have a blessed festive season. Thank you again for the work that you and your organizations are doing. And let's just hold thumbs that everything goes smoothly, that we have the water that we require, that people behave themselves, and we have collectively a magnificent festive season. What comes next, 2023? Well, we start again. Thanks again for joining me on the afternoon show, folks.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. We'll see you in the water.
In the water, absolutely. And the show continues, folks.